Good morning. This is the regular meeting, actually a special meeting of the Improvements Committee.
Regular meeting. This is our regular day.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Improvements Committee, March 7th, 8 o'clock. Call the meeting to order. Is there any comments from the public? Guess not.
Not sure when we speak up to, are we on the agenda?
Yeah, you're on the agenda for the boat ramp at Calera?
Yep.
Why don't we do that first?
So, very good.
So somebody want to speak to the issue from RMA?
Yeah.
I think I can make it bigger by dragging the corner.
Thank you.
This is, what I'm handing out is actually a recommendation that
thank you, Rod.
To
thanks, Rod.
Finance Committee, excuse me, not finance. Listen, you talking about finance. Maintenance Committee, in regards to ideas of places to place a boat dock out there. So currently, if I can walk over to
yes,
the TV.
Please, please.
I'm sorry it's not bigger.
No, it's totally fine.
It's okay.
I heard that there was rumors that it would come off of Disfinger, and that's, to my knowledge, not true. We never spoke about that. We do have some people that have, or at least one person that has suggested that we put it in this area, or maybe this little point. When you look at the property lines, on the newest maps that I see, the developer property cuts into those quite a bit, and we'd be kind of locked in regards to having sufficient parking and so forth. So the map that you have in front of you kind of outlines where that would go. As a matter of fact, you can kind of sort of probably see some white dotted lines that cross that road. On that point, and for the audience that doesn't have a map, our thought would be that the ramp would go in right about this location. Gives an area for staging, an area for people to be able to park. We would build a ramp that is probably about a 10% grade. That we would dig in, so we wouldn't be going into the lake. We'd actually create that on the existing bank that's there now, so we'd start at the toe of the slope and come up at a 10% grade until we daylight. And then it would include a concrete ramp so that they've got traction for getting in and out of there with a 20-foot gangway that would go to a 7-foot by 30-foot dock that could go to either side. So the dock, the way it would be installed, it would have some rollers that would be in some channels so that it would follow the level of the lake out as the water recedes and then would come back up as the water comes back up. So, installed a little bit with a little more forethought than some of our others. So anyway, that's the area that we picked. The fishing club has come in along with some other members as well and requested that a dock be put there for a couple different reasons. One for making it safer to launch one there right now without a dock. Somebody's got to stand in behind the vehicle. To make sure they tether that vessel when they go to launch it. And secondly, it really helps prevent body contact in the water as well. So that's my spiel. I don't know if the fishing club wants to come out and
all right, you said everything.
Okay. Any questions?
You said the dock is how big?
The gangway is that will come up onto the shoreline is, I believe that's 4 foot by 20 foot.
Mm-hmm.
The dock itself is 7 foot by 30 foot.
So kind of look, would it look like the one at Clementia?
Look exactly like the one. Well, the Clementia one has It tees off and has a couple sections, but yeah, it would be real similar to what you have at Clemente, other than we won't have that head wall that we'll attach that to. Both the ones that we have there now are bolted in and stationary. We propose that we put one in that will follow those water elevations up and down.
Did I hear correctly? Were you also talking about a concrete ramp?
Yes.
Okay, so that in addition to the boat dock.
Correct.
So ramp and dock, like there'd be like ramp and like a dock next door.
Yeah. So the ramp would be would go all the way down to the toe of the slope. So right down to the elevation of the water. Beyond that, we would put some riprap in there to make sure there's not a drop off or something.
So you wouldn't extend the ramp into the.
Not the concrete.
Yeah,
but the rock certainly would, so that it would be.
The thought is that you could get the boat closer to the water, and they'll start to float once you get low enough.
I'm sorry.
Depending on the elevation of the lake, will that work with the wheels of the trailer, and getting the boat to the point where it's becoming buoyant?
Oh yeah.
Like, will it be deep enough if you don't take it?
Yeah, I mean I haven't went out. I know that you guys have done some depth. Figures out in that lake in the last couple of years or so. I was hoping maybe Travis would be able to answer that, and I'm sure he probably could. But to my knowledge and being out there, I think it drops sufficiently to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll drop significantly depending on the season.
Correct.
Is why I asked.
Yeah. I understand that since there is a quorum. And I'm a board member, which is great. This is sounding like a recreation lake. I know this is not going to be a popular statement, but Bosan has no drinking water. Why are we making this into a recreation lake? The idea that this is going to keep people out of the water, it doesn't make any sense to me. That dock that we have at Chesbro, whatever it is, people are in the water all the time. In the water all the time. And it just encourages, to me, the use of a drinking water reservoir for recreation. So I would think.
Rod, do you happen to know if. You probably don't have any statistics on what boats are currently there now, like how many boats you get per day. But I know it's limited to electric motor, no fuel motor.
Right.
Do you have any?
I don't have an intelligent answer to that question.
I wouldn't expect you to. I was just curious.
We can certainly find out how many boats are registered. We're utilizing in our lakes, and we track that. I don't have that number with me, but nobody's going to be able to tell you that there's, you know.
Yeah, or how much to expect.
Yeah. And right now, I think I pointed out. Right now, they launched. You guys did correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's right in this area is where they launch from. Is that correct, or is it
there?
Right there, that one. And that one, everybody always tried to use this area as the boat launcher, but you've got to back out to where you've got to step out in water that's about that deep because it's so shallow on its way out that it just wouldn't work. So years ago, and maybe one of the board members will remember, there was approval for us to go over in that area and just put riprap down so that they could back up. And so the request now is to approve that to, and obviously, if we're going to do one, we want to do it into an area that we're not going to be walked in by a roadway in the future or whatever. But anyway, that's why this area was selected.
So what's riprap?
It's going to be 3-inch rock that is, and you'll you'll see some of that if you go out and look at the other side. It's 3-inch rock that's pretty sharp, so it locks in really well, and it'll keep people from sinking. It
protects the side slopes of the... So Rod, it's been, and I don't remember where I've heard this, but it's been said that the boats are going to go there regardless, but providing, you know, better access will decrease the damage to the side of the reservoir. Does that ring true to you?
No, because of the riprap that we have in the current location.
It's protecting this. It's already protecting.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's more a matter of there's no doubt that it is much safer to launch from a boat environment where you've got somebody that's holding the tether off to the side and can walk out there and hold it in place while somebody goes and parks the trailer. So that statement is absolutely true. I don't know. I know with you guys being the keepers of the water, I can only go by what you say in regards to the amount of people that get in the water. This certainly will help in that regard, in regards to people who won't have to get in the water to be able to get inside the boat. Those two are true, but I don't think that either place is harming the topography of the water slopes.
Congratulations to the fishing club. I think we were instrumental in keeping out boats that don't live there.
Yeah, they work very hard.
That's a great idea. And the number of non-residents that were fishing and had their boats down there without a resident is frightening. It was unbelievable. So congratulations on that. I think that's great. Why can't you fish in Clementia? I mean, they have a dock, what is the problem with Clementia?
Why don't we do this a little bit different? If somebody wants to talk, they ought to get up. But I have a question before that happens.
Okay.
What's the status of this project through RMA?
It's frozen until we get a blessing from the CSC.
Okay.
So it's gone through maintenance committee to support the location.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't move forward until we have a consensus of the CSC.
Great.
My name is Greg Mason. I'm the kicked up here.
Yeah.
I was the prior fishing club president, Rancho Murrieta Fishing Club, for the last 17 years. We've discussed this over and over and over. It's been a big topic. I don't know that there's a quorum in the club for wanting it done. I know there are some individuals, especially elderly people, that would make it a little bit easier. It's really changed in terms of who's using it now. Kayaks have become a big deal. They're such state of the art. And if you go out there on any given day, you will see a lot more kayaks than you'll see regular boats being launched. And it's very convenient because they can bring it out of the back of the truck, carry it out, drop it in the water, and away they go. As far as the issue of human contact with the water, for 6 months out of the year, you can't walk in that water without having waders on. It's ice cold. So I will tell you, there's nobody out there launching from October till March or April in a pair of shorts. I fish it probably 50 times a year for the last 17 years, so I'm in and out a lot. I will say that the way I do it is you put a rope on the boat, you back it up, let the boat float off, and the rope's attached to the back of the truck, and you pull the boat back in and you step into the boat. But for an elderly person, that one moment of trying to step in is where they're having some problems. A boat dock would help alleviate that, but I will say, just based on my experience, there's probably 2 or 3% of the people that fish that lake that fall into that category. But it, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. It's an awful lot of money, but it's, it probably would be helpful. To address your question, the lakes are three different types of fisheries. They don't even have the same types of bass. One has northern bass, one has Florida strain, one has spotted bass. They're three different types of fisheries. They fish totally different because of the weed growth. The fish fish different. Clementia is a great lake. It's a very prolific lake, but it's a very challenging lake to fish once the weed growth gets up. Calero, because of its dropping down, there comes a point when a lot of the weeds grow up, and then the water goes below the level of the weeds, and you can go out and fish the lake without having to deal with the weeds. And again, while it may appear to be a recreational lake, the people that are fishing it are in their boats. They're not out swimming. They're not out. They're not. I mean, and I even asked.
Travis.
I asked Travis, you know, probably what percentage of contamination is there from humans going in up to their knees, stepping into water, compared to deer, dogs, geese, all the other wildlife that uses the water. And he admitted it's a very, very small percentage. I mean, I'm not saying that somebody in the summertime isn't going to take their kayak out there and walk up to their knees and jump in. But the amount of exposure in the water is 30 seconds. I mean, it's not like anybody's swimming or doing any other recreational things. It's a fantastic, phenomenal bass fisheries lake. Most people don't realize it. The state record bluegill came out of that lake. It used to be just notorious, which is why we had so many people sneaking in, because it is a notorious, wonderful fisheries. And it's a totally different fisheries. The water clarity is different. The fish are different. The behavior is different. So it would be a shame not to be able to use it because of a 1 or 2% human contact. Like I said, as far as the dock goes, though, I don't know how much it would alleviate people walking into the water with the boat. It might, but like I said, most people are using kayaks now. And with a kayak, they're not going to launch and then take off all the way across the lake. They're probably going to go over and drop the thing off wherever, whatever cove they want to fish or whatever area they're going to fish. So, hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? Yeah.
Appreciate your explanation. If it makes sense. I would suggest that they're wanting to put this sacramental fish.
Could you speak into the microphone? Please?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's okay, Sacramento blackfish, and that Sacramento blackfish is supposed to eat algae and weeds and all that sort of stuff.
Can you hold it. I'll miss what you're saying.
We're on the boat dock right now.
Right. I had a reason for saying that. Because Greg mentioned that Clementia is a difficult lake to fish in because of the weeds and the growth and a variety of other things. And that's why I brought it up. I'm still thinking that if you put those fish in that lake, they're supposed to eat that stuff. That's what you said the last time you were. Yeah.
No, the plankton.
Okay, the
so
plankton.
These are not plankton.
Okay.
So plankton is consistent with zooplankton, phytoplankton. All right, so phytoplankton is for plants. And so, but that's algae. So they're very simple structures, one cell, microscopic organisms.
So they wouldn't help the weed problem?
No, they wouldn't help the weed problem.
Okay, all right. Could RMA fix the weed problem?
we will work on weeds in with your team, but not in one of the domestic
waters. Mm-hmm. We have big fisheries out here. You said because of the weeds, the weeds provide good cover for the
fish.
And the non-pod fish provided it for the eggs and the weeds to test. Now, bass have beds, so they won't go into the weeds. So, weed form is very good support for the resistance of the fish that live in the water. The other thing that weeds will do is produce nitrogen.
Okay.
So,
take your word for it.
Beyond your question, I apologize. but have I answered your concern?
Well, I just thought that, my thinking was simplistic. I just thought that if those fish could help take care of the weed problem, that that would be one.
I can't even hear this conversation. Let's talk about the fish later. Let's stay on the subject of the boat.
The dock, to me, is, it makes sense on one level, but it doesn't make sense on other levels. And it really seems like we're headed in the direction of a recreational lake, and that is not what either of our reservoirs are supposed to be used for.
Marty?
Yes?
John Sullivan, 7075 via Robia. Army's retained the recreational rights on all the reservoirs since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. So they own the bottoms and they own the recreational rights. Mm-hmm. CSD owns the water and the reservoir's utility as a water supply lake. So trying to dissuade RMA from recreation that has a 30 plus year history, gonna be a little tough to change fishing in Calero because it is so incredibly spectacular. So,
thank you. Personally, I'm in favor of putting the boat dock out there. I think anything RMA wants to do to improve the community, I think, is a good thing. And I'm not convinced that it's going to cause more contact with the water. So I think the appropriate thing to do is send this off to the board for the next meeting, put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Have the board make a decision and see where we go from there. Is that understandable to you? Yeah, go ahead.
Just because I'm not sure that I said this earlier, so I wanted to make sure that everybody is clear that the reason that was picked is actually that entire peninsula is considered Calero Lakeside Park. So it's on a park site.
So could you, for the next meeting, like take a photograph like that, put a big old circle and let, so we, if we put it on the agenda next time, we know exactly where it's proposed?
Sure, so...
do we have that?
Email it to me, I'll give you my card, I'll run get my card for you, and then am I understanding correctly that you're going to be physically present at the meeting next
March
Wednesday
15th.
Night? March 15th?
I can be if
I'll put you first thing on the agenda then, so you'll go on around 10 minutes after 5, does that sound okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Send me a reminder.
I'll send you a calendar invitation.
Awesome.
I'll get this on the agenda.
Thank you,
Rod. Great. I'm going to take another one out of order here. Now I'd like to talk about the blackfish. Who wants to talk about that? Go ahead.
Yeah, the Ranch and Marina Fishing Club is interested in putting what we call forage fish, or a different kind of forage fish, in Lake Clara. And then the other thing we want to do, too, is that we want to put spawning bass into Chesbro. So that is the plan at this time. The primary focus is on the Sacramento blackfish, which is brand new. Now, the blackfish exist currently in the Cosumnes River, too. I went on online and then looked up the fish species that reside in the Cosumnes River. And so the blackfish is there. The reason why cite the Cosumnes River is because we get our water from the Cosumnes River. So that is one way. And so essentially it's a native fish. The other thing that made it very appealing was the fact that it's a filter feeder. So it feeds on, essentially it swims through the water and then opens its mouth and then sucks in water. And then whatever happens to get trapped in its gills, they consume. But they also will not prey upon the bass and then the bluegill, especially the fry, primarily because they don't actively seek out the prey. You have the bass and the bluegill will seek out prey.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, but again, going back to the primary purpose for the Sacramento Blackfish, was a forage fish that would go ahead and then provide feed for the existing sport fish that live in Calera. All right, now, to be honest, I was kind of, you know, going with the information received on the website, but then one of the things that Travis did was to get Department of Fish and Wildlife involved, and so then we got this response back from Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so I apologize, I'm not as organized as Rod is, and so I don't have extra copies to hand out, so I'll have to read this to you. I love this idea, and I am in full support of planting Sacramento blackfish into the proposed waters. Blackfish are awesome native foragers, and I don't foresee any issues with introducing the species. Please let me know if I can be of any help with this process moving forward. And so I have his contact information in case anybody else wants to follow up on.
Is this the same thing we have in our packet?
I think so.
Huh?
Should be.
What's the date of that on yours?
I didn't copy the date down. I just pulled it out of one of the email exchanges.
Oh, okay. And this was from who?
This is from Skylar Burson from Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, okay. That's the same one we have.
He's the district biologist.
Yeah, for here.
Environmental scientist.
For this area.
Yeah. Region 2.
So what's the schedule for this?
Well, I think right now we're hoping to get funding from the RMA Rec Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're waiting on the okay coming from CSD. And okay. So once they get the approval, I'm not sure how to say this, but once the okay comes from CSD, then they'll go ahead and decide what they want to provide in funds in order for us to purchase the Sacramento Blackfish. And so the club has money of its own that's going to be going towards the bass and Chesbro. Now, the other thing, too, is that we had to file a private fish stocking permit.
See that?
Yeah. And so, again, Department of Fish and Wildlife approved it.
Okay. Can you speak again to the urgency of this project? I think it was at the board, last board meeting, you had mentioned that something needs to happen sooner than later.
Okay, now I understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Sacramento blackfish, we want to get spawning couples into the lake so they make more Sacramento blackfish. And so we wouldn't have to go and buy more and more every time. Essentially, like, dump a lot of fish food in the lake. You know, hopefully they would be able to propagate and then, feed the lake without much more introduction of fish. That was the hope. Okay, the Sacramento blackfish spawns from March to July. All right, however, we have to buy it. And so now then we're dependent upon the supply that the fish seller has.
Mm-hmm.
Now also regard just more information, maybe extra, but we're using a fish seller that has stocked bass in these lakes before. So I gave you more than you probably asked for. I apologize.
No.
And then, but did I answer your question?
Yeah, we're assuming that you have the support of, RMA or fishermen as a whole, is that?
Fishermen as a whole, yes. And so we've been talking about, one of the best things for us to do, we don't want to, screw up what we have in place already, but the addition of food may enhance it. And that's pretty much our focus, to improve our fishing experience out there.
Is there any potential downsides to introducing these fish that you can think of as an experienced fisherman?
To be honest, this is too good to be true, to be honest. I don't see a downside. And then we're not introducing that many so that you know, if they would have a sudden die-off and pollute the lake. We're just doing a small batch. Let's see what happens.
And what's a small batch?
In this case, 100 spawning adults, and then 8,000 3-inch juveniles.
And then the juveniles will grow up to be spawning adults next year?
If they survive, yes. And but again, the primary reason for it is, you know, to provide forage, more forage fish, because the one thing that from our observations is that we're a little puzzled about how much forage fish exist in Claro. Clemente has lots of forage fish. And so you have, I guess, some existing golden shiners and other fish that I don't know about. And then plus, you have a good population of carp, which actually are the ones that would take care of the reefs. And so that's why we felt that we didn't want to really touch Clemente. We want to go in and do, you know, one lake at a time, you would minimize any negative impact. And then, but also, this is a small of a dose to see how well this will go ahead and affect the fisheries. And so from a fisherman, or angler's point, angler's point of view, we've had an awful lot of input from other anglers that you know, have looked into the Sacramento blackfish along with what I've done, and really readily endorsed the idea. I think you mentioned tree plum tree.
Yeah.
Does anybody know who tree plum tree? All right, so anyway, he was a former resident of Rancho Murrieta, and who has become, I guess, renowned, legendary among the Rancho Murrieta anglers as being a pretty good bass fisherman, but he really totally endorses the blackfish. But the best endorsement that I got was from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. They have many years of experience monitoring our fisheries, and so they pretty much, you know, cite, you know, where problems occur. And so when I hear, I love it, then I say, hot damn. Sounds like a great idea. But and again, you know, I have to commend Travis for getting us in touch with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, primarily because then I think we got a real good endorsement from a very good, reliable source.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Am I dismissed?
No, you know, you've done a lot of homework here, and I applaud you for that. You jumped through a lot of hoops. In our last board meeting, I think we decided that this is an area that the general manager could make a decision. And are you comfortable with that, or do you want to take it to the board?
Well, I'd like to hear, you know, to hear from everybody.
Okay.
You know, one last piece that I don't think we've done yet is talk to the Department of Water Resources just to check in with Big Brother to make sure,
okay,
you know, that's acceptable in their mind as well. I'm completely neutral on the subject. I just want to make sure our reservoir is going to be okay, and I also want to make sure that people, you know, get to do what they need to do. So.
Well, we're in agreement with that, too. It's our drinking water.
Yeah. Yes, understood. But I think, you know, at the very least, one last kind of check with Department of Water Resources, make sure that, you know, that's in alignment with their expectations as well, because they are our monitoring agency.
Okay, is it, when would they provide an answer?
I'm sure they could provide an answer probably this week.
Okay.
So, but I want to hear from everybody that has something to say. Is there anybody else that wanted to, looks like Linda wanted to mention some things.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And Travis will be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
As far as our Lake Claro and Lake Chesapeake is concerned, the first thing is that's the name of the lake or the name of the body of water, but they're reservoirs. Big difference between how a lake functions and how a reservoir functions. And they are our drinking water supply. And so whether or not RMA has jurisdiction over the ground underneath the lake or the ground around the lake, et cetera. They are not designated as recreation lakes except for fishing. You cannot take, you know, body contact, et cetera. And there are codes, 12 of them, as a matter of fact, that are very clear about this, that it's it's drinking water. And that's our source of supply, and it's frankly one of our, it's our only source of supply. So if something happens to that water, we have a big problem. So while RMA can determine what's going to happen around the lakes, et cetera, they are not, it is not as far as reservoirs like Calero and Chesboro. Clementia Park is a park. And that's why people can swim in it. It's not connected to our drinking water. So I just wanted to clarify that. I've done some investigation on it.
Anybody else want to speak on the issue?
Just real quick, I want to point out that the problem that the fishing club had for the last 17 years is trying to decide what forage to put in. There's a lot of discussion about high protein. Which is what bass mean. And the other problem is wanting to put in a forage that would propagate. Otherwise, you're just feeding a popcorn. You just throw the bait in there, and it's all eaten up, and it doesn't do any good. It actually can artificially inflate your bass population, and if they don't reproduce, then what do you do next year? There was a lot of thought that's gone into the blackfish. It's a perfect fish. It's 2021, Clear Lake was number one bass fisheries in the nation. And it is full of Sacramento blackfish. It's probably its main forage base along with fish. So they grow, they're high in protein, they survive in our types of water. That's what we're looking for. There's other types of forage you can put in, and it just, if the water gets too hot, they're not going to make it. If it gets too cold, they're not going to make it. So anyway, it wasn't just a kind of a half thought out idea. It's the fishing club has spent a lot of time talking to I have talked to probably a half a dozen different fisheries management people, biologists, trying to figure out what is the best forage to use. So anyway, just want to add that. If anybody had any concerns about that.
Thank you. Anybody else? So I think we're going to leave it. You can do one last piece of homework and make a decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll report that decision to the board.
Okay. So let's go on to the monthly update. If you guys want to listen to that, you're welcome. If not, bye.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We'll see you, Rod, on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike, real quick, then I'll be working with Travis on this.
Yeah.
And Travis has done a great job.
Yeah, he's good people. Yes, yeah, sure. All right, well, I apologize. Mr. Bohannon is not here. He's taken ill, so you're stuck with me providing this report.
Okay.
For our SB 170 projects, our water treatment plant sodium hypochlorite conversion, we're awaiting 100% design from HDR this spring, and once we get to that point, we'll report that back to the committee. That design will be coupled with the most probable construction cost, so we'll get a yay or nay or moving forward with that project at that point. Our recycled water disinfection project, we met last week with Dewberry and discussed several design considerations and constraints, and they're going to come back with an updated report and most likely a 10% design based on that input that was provided. The Grand Lease Safety Improvements design, the district engineer will be starting that design soon. We've also got the district engineer working on our lift station project as well. Let's see, stormwater cleanup. Staff has continued to repair and clean up the district facilities. As you can see outside, Tree Tech has been outside several times removing the downed trees and the debris from that. The CIA ditch repairs have begun. We met with the CIA organization a couple weeks ago, and Snyder Ranch and Mr. Pearson are taking the lead on those repairs at this time.
You stopped yesterday?
Yeah, that would make sense because we were expecting some storms. You don't want to make improvements that are going to be potentially washed away. Water plant one continues to be down for maintenance. Two is operating at about 0.72 MGD, typical wintertime flows. Unfortunately, due to a misunderstanding by our vendor, the meter that we were going to install for the airport, which should have been here in 2 or 3 weeks, was not actually ordered by the vendor. We caught it. We've told the vendor to reorder it. It's now, unfortunately, 48 weeks out. We've tried other suppliers to get another meter, and they came up with the same lead time. So I have notified Cal Fire, SAC Metro Fire and Mr. Beers about that predicament. And the way it was left is we have a lock on the valve, so if that valve does need to be opened to create a loop system during a fire, that we have, we've got a 45-minute response time. And SAC Metro said that they would have enough water for that duration by the time we get out there. SAC Metro was not interested in having a key to that for whatever reason. So
okay.
And it's been that way since 2014. Rioso project is still waiting our VFDs for installation, and one VFD is on site and the other one is due in mid-May. My assumption is that they're going to be installing them both at the same time. Our lift station rehabilitation project, Travis mentioned we had a kickoff meeting with our district engineer in early February. We're still in the preliminary design process regarding Alameda and the starter shack. There's a potential still to be able to utilize a prefab drop-in unit, but we have to. They're going to do some more homework on that before we move forward with a full design. We are moving forward with the 3B lift station rehab design. We'll probably bid that separately based on the need to get that up and running sooner because it does take the permeate from our water treatment plant, so it's kind of like a linchpin for proper water treatment plant operation. The Lake 11 project is pretty much complete, and we're awaiting a request for final payment and district acceptance for that project.
Here's a picture. Everybody loves a picture.
Riverview contractor has completed its punch list items, I'm told, from phase 1A and 1B, and staff will be bringing that infrastructure acceptance to the next board meeting for approval by resolution. That will be a similar process that we utilize for Retreats East. For Retreats, contractor is also working on some punch list items. There's been a development with the storm drain. There are some issues with elevations that we need to take a look at that potentially need to be rectified. Our engineer is working with them directly. There are also various details that need to be completed prior to releasing water meters. I met with KHOV yesterday at our district engineer office to talk about some of the items related to lift station 6B, and to discuss some of the punch list items. We've provided the developer deposit to them, and I've been told that they take no issue with that, so that will be paid fairly soon. And then their attorney has provided us with some direction on how basically to provide their own direction based on their identification of their responsibilities regarding the 670 responsibility. So we're taking a look at that now. Our council is taking a look at that, and so we hope to work that out with the developer.
Good.
So that's all in progress. Let's see. Contractor still working on Circle K building. As you know, the Tractor Supply is open for business. There was I think you've been told this before, but there was a conflict with the retaining wall on lot 12 for the Gardens Pet Hospital. The easement was shifted for our water line. The water line is being moved by the contractor back into the shifted easement. So that we there has been they're working with our district engineer to make sure that those submittals are complete and everything is tidy. So that's it for the report at this point. If there's any questions,
I had a question on the grand lease. What's the schedule for that?
I'm awaiting a schedule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've just started. This is going to go across fiscal years.
Oh, okay.
I think all these SB 170 projects will probably cross the June 30. So I've requested from our district engineer to get schedules for all the projects that they're working on, and I'm getting with their other consultants to get those schedules so I can try to budget for the break in fiscal year.
Okay. Linda?
Hi. When I read this, I just always make a few notes and questions, and if this is something that I should bring up at the if my questions are some things that should come up at the general meeting, just let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. Under the recycled water disinfection project, it says they've been reviewing and providing comments and questions back to Dewberry. Do we know what kind of questions they're concerned about?
Oh, yeah. So some of the questions were things like, well, right now we currently provide chlorine prior to the DAF and the filter unit.
Okay.
And then we provide chlorine after the filter unit. But one of my questions was, that seems odd to me that I've never really seen something like that. And I asked, because they do have, you know, experts that are better at chemistry than I am, you know, is there a benefit to adding the chlorine that outweighs the cost? And the answer is that the chlorine does provide some minute benefit, but it's not necessarily worth the cost of adding it prior to the DAF. So what we're going to do is provide a pipe and a valve, so if the operators in the future feel that they have the need to add it prior to the DAF, they can still do that. We're not cutting off any avenues of operation, but we're really kind of designing it to, you minimize your chlorine use if you just use it all in one spot.
That's what, I mean, what I understand from what we've been trying to do for the last couple of years is minimize the chlorine or get rid of the chlorine.
Right, and so we're getting rid of chlorine gas altogether. Mm-hmm. We're replacing it with sodium hypochlorite, which has chlorine in it.
Okay.
It's just a different delivery method.
Mm-hmm.
So it's things like that, talking about, hey, I believe both units have a 3 MGD total capacity.
What is MGD?
Oh, million gallons per day.
Okay.
So both the plant 1 and plant 2 have a 3 MGD capacity. And so one of my questions was, well, we should probably take a look at making the contact tank 3 MGD capacity so we don't create a bottleneck.
Okay.
So those types of things.
Okay.
Do we want two contact tanks? Do we want one contact tank? Because we have the ability to stop the plant at any time, you know, it negates the need for having one contact tank while we're cleaning another one. We can just mm-hmm. stop the plant, which is a benefit that not very many wastewater plants have.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Less walls and that have to be built.
Lift station rehab. Well, I didn't know what Alameda and Starter Shack are.
Oh, they're two lift stations. The Alameda lift station serves a couple of small buildings over at the Country Club.
Okay.
And the Starter Shack serves the bathroom over on, I don't remember which,
on the
hole in the south.
Club. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bathroom in the south.
One.
Hole number one. Yeah. Thereby being dubbed the Starter Shack.
Okay, under drainage, and we had that nice little picture. I'm not sure exactly what has to be done to secure that lid. It looks secure, but are the is the mesh or the cover not attached to the...
It is attached, and what we're going to do is, what's not pictured in here, is there's going to be a large piece of metal that's going to slide through and be locked on each end to keep kids out, because in theory, even though it looks pretty heavy, it can be moved.
Oh, yeah, and they'll find a way.
Yes. I was opting for poison spikes, but I was voted down that.
Okay. One thing that came up, a friend of mine mentioned this, that they have terrible water pressure on Dela Cruz up at the top of the hill. And so that, in conjunction with the houses that are being built on in the retreats in that area, is it 6B that the pump station that's over by the multi-use path? Is that the number? Is it 6B?
Yeah, 6B is the sewer lift station that's located there.
Okay, so... does that have anything to do with water pressure?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is Covanian going to pay for that? Because it does have to be replaced, right?
Yeah, currently the mainline extension agreement amendment specifies that K. Covanian will pay for the lift station upgrades.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks.
And I have a question, Marty, then. I just wanted to clarify for my minutes, the improvements committee wishes for us to bring the resolution to accept the Riverview infrastructure to the board next week. The resolution that I will write this afternoon.
Yeah, it was kind of more like an FYI,
okay.
Letting them know that we will be bringing it to the board.
Okay.
If there's no objections.
So you're okay with that?
You got all the paperwork?
We're getting it together.
Oh, okay.
If the contractor gives us everything that we need, then we'll bring it to the board.
It's just a resolution to accept.
Basically.
It's just a resolution to accept like we did with...
fine.
With the retreats.
Fine with me. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any comments on the report? I think we're down to the wooden bridge.
Wooden Bridge, we're going to have to cancel at this time. Our attorney wasn't able to get the paperwork together needed in time for the... But the update was, you know, I have spoken with RMA, and, you know, they're amenable to taking that property back, and we've done a recent title search. So that was one of the requests of the...
So it's ready to go. It's just a matter of getting all the paperwork together?
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew has to write.
You never know what comes up in the 12th hour, but so far it looks like it's something that I think that district has been wanting to do for a while is transfer that back. 4 years. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be seeing that in April.
Okay. I don't have any further comments. Do you have any further?
Oh, I think we missed an item.
We did?
Yeah, let's see. Wastewater plant drawing bid RFP results.
Oh, we did miss that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So Travis had worked with Amelia and got an RFP out. The Walking Dead over there. Okay. Okay, so for this is for the drawing bid pump station panel for the wastewater plant. Apparently, the panel needed replacing. It's been not working very well for several years. We put it out to bid. Originally, this was a CIP-approved project with a budget of $75,000. We received two bids from the RFP, one for $97,840 from Telstar Instruments, and one from $69,626 from Prodigy Electric. So the staff is... requesting that we move forward with the Prodigy bid and put this in place and get the work done.
So that sounds good to me. So the idea is you're going to bring a contract for approval to the board?
Correct.
And let's proceed with that.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, sir. I'll put it on the agenda.
Okay. Now we're back to... Jenna, so you have anything else you want to bring in?
I have nothing.
Anybody else have something I want to bring up? I don't. So we're adjourned.
Thank you, sir.